Welcome everybody to our meeting on this Lord's Day evening. We have only one more of these left in this decade. It's one way to look at the importance of our occasion tonight. We're so grateful for our brothers and sisters in the Lord whom we meet with here every week, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. We're also very grateful for the service of so many of our family members here at all times in between those meetings. We think about not only what has happened in our lives this year, but what we've been able to do together with the Lord's blessing and how we've been able to help each other at times. But we also think about what we hope to do, what we ask God to help us to do together in the new year or in whatever time we have. We've tried to plan tonight something a little bit different way of doing something the Lord's people have always had to do in one way or another. And that is to put our hearts and hopes and dreams together and to fashion our prayers to God for what we might want Him to help us do in 2020. If you think about our Thanksgiving time together this year, some of you who are here tonight will remember this. We asked a bunch of our families to look back on 2019 and to kind of say this is what we and our family are grateful for, what we thank God for about this year. That was a moving time for me and hearing what our people, what our families had to say. That's only half of our task. The other half now is to look ahead and to try to think of what our hopes and dreams are. These are the kinds of experiences which actually make us a congregation, if you think about it. Shared hopes and dreams, and also shared memories and thanks. So when you read most of the letters in the New Testament, at least several of those from the Apostle Paul, you'll find him writing to brothers and sisters in the Lord and saying to them, this is what I ask God for you. For example, in Philippians 1, beginning at verse 9, Paul says to these people, and you can tell from the letter, they're dear to him. They've helped him in some important way. He says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You can hear his request for them. Perhaps some of the things that we share together tonight will be in one vein or another of that prayer. So what we've done is to ask several of our brothers here to speak for their families or their clans and to complete this sentence which is in front of you here. If our family could ask God to give our congregation one gift for the new year, it would be. And in some cases, our fellows will explain to us a little bit about why this one thing is their family's prayer to God for us. And in other cases, it will be more brief. We've asked several fellows to help do this. We'll move quickly from one to the other. And I want to thank these men ahead of time for giving it some thought and speaking in behalf of their family. I would say to all of us as we listen to think in our own minds, yeah, I agree with that. I hope that too. And for our our shepherds and for our servants in this congregation and all of us, be listening. This is what is on the heart and mind of our people in many cases. And that way, let's enjoy it together. We're going to start with John Davis. John has one thing that these other fellows don't probably have the advantage of. He brought a picture, I'll tell you. John Davis.
Thank you, Bill. And I'm relying on something I usually don't rely on, and that's my phone not going dark. But that is not what our family wishes. If our family could ask God to give our congregation one gift for the new year, it would be, this is going to surprise you, I'm going to say longer arms. And the reason I say that, it's not because we all have these little T-Rex arms and we hope we turn into giant squids. No. I've got two verses that will explain this. And the first is found in the book of 3 John, chapter 3 John, verse 14. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, so if yours sounds a little different, that's why. So 3 John, verse 14, my version reads this way. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. To me, I'm hoping that we can read that and see that we need to make new friends and keep the ones we've got to keep those bonds strong. The other verse, or the other passage, is actually two verses in the book of Jude, and that's verse 20 and 21. My version reads this way, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit to keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We need to keep the Word of God close to us, whether it's our friends and families or here in the congregation. Now for the picture. If you all have children of a certain age, you're going to know this picture here. Basically, that's a caveman in the movie called The Croods. I think his name is Grug. But he is showing he's got his arms around his entire family, those that he sees and thinks of as important. If we could also extend our arms around those we see and think that's important, whether it be the congregation here, our friends, our families, those we see in the entire world, I think that'd be a good gift for us. Thank you.
Well, as I was walking out of the building this morning, Bill caught me and said, I need you to answer this question for your clan. If your family could ask God to give our congregation one gift for the new year, it would be, and the first thing that went through my mind was, more time to answer this question. The second one was the gift of public speaking so that I could actually talk to you about the answer that I came up with, right? But then I began to think about, what do I have, what does my family have that we would love for this congregation to have? And the problem I came up with was all of those things God has already given us. All of the things that we would have, all of the great gifts that you can think of, God gave us. We have it. I've got a beautiful family sitting there in the back row. Not all of them are here tonight, but they'll be here this week. And it's that family that I treasure the most. It's that tight-knit closeness with my kids. Yeah, they're off in Arkansas. They're all over the place. But they're home. And yeah, I got a couple of hard-headed boys back there. And I know where they got it. And yes, we butt heads. But I love them dearly. And it's that I would give this congregation. Not that we aren't all brothers and sisters already, but that tight-knit family. Not that one weird brother that lives out somewhere that never comes, right? Not that one. But the one that comes to the Christmas dinner and brings the weird food that you have to eat anyway because you love them. Yeah, that's me. The one that you put your arms around like the Croods do. The ones that you recognize, and that's the gift, to recognize your brothers and your sisters. To recognize, even if you only see them on Sunday morning, that is your brother and the relationship that you have with them. Between you and them and between you and them and God. That blesses my family in the back. And that makes them a blessing to your family. And that makes your family a blessing to me. So an enhanced sense of family is what our family would give to yours.
This may be a little hard for me, but I want to help hope that we would admonish one another to good works. And how can we do that without knowing one another? There's people sitting in this congregation tonight that I've known for 60-some years. Okay, I'll tell you, I'm 71. We'll be 72 when Dad turns 70. How many? 90-something, Dad? 96? Okay. Karen Renfro Duncan. I can remember her whenever I was a little kid and her family. Excuse me. Lucille Hyde. Her mother... was Ella Shelby, a close friend of my grandmother. I'm sorry. Without that ability to love one another, show the love. When Ginger and I walked through that door a year ago, we felt like family. We were welcome. And for that, I'm thankful. I'm sorry, thank you.
I think tonight I'm representing the younger generation of carols, since Dad's going to go up next. But mine's kind of based off of what I did for Youth Night a couple months ago, and mine was, if our family could ask God to give our congregation one gift for the new year, it would be to give us all here to focus and awareness, to strive to show God's characteristics and to seek them out in others. And that was kind of, I got that from Exodus 34:6, like where it describes the characteristics of God. Thanks.
From our family, if we could ask God to give the congregation one gift for this new year, it would probably be the gift to remember specifically. I'm going to read in a moment out of 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 11. But it would be to remember to fight the good fight, the fight of faith, despite the challenges we face individually, as families, as a congregation, and to live as a people that really believe God's going to do exactly what He says He's going to do. To remember the good confession that we've all made and the privileges and the responsibilities that go along with it. For us to count wealth and richness and success as serving others and being generous and kind in the name of the Lord. And for our words and deeds to reflect Christ to those here, to those outside. And the hope is that, and the gift would be that we are noticeably different than what we see from the world today. And I'll read now, through, starting halfway through verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 6 through the end of the chapter. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be glory, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you.
My thought was, I thought it happened just a few years ago, and then I got to thinking how many years ago it happened. And I think it's been over 25 years that the religious community had a movement of one nation under God. Any of you remember that? Well, my thought tonight for our congregation, wouldn't it be great if our community, the state and our nation would remember our congregation, the people of our congregation, as a one that is under God. I am thankful also for our leadership, our preachers, and each saint that worships here. Thank you.
Well, I'm thankful first that none of the previous gentlemen said what I was going to say. I'm in sales, so I am an optimist by trade. And normally this time of the year, I'm doing a lot of reflection upon the end of the year, doing reports on that. But I'm also doing a lot of looking forward to the next year and wondering what wonderful things are going to come through my door next year. But I'm also a realist, and I know with every coming year there's going to be coming challenges too, whether that's with a company, with a family, or with the church family. So if my family could ask God to give our congregation one gift for the new year, it would be the strength and the spirit that is going to be required to face those challenges that are coming to us next year. You know, I have no doubt that we have wonderful blessings coming our way, but every year it's got those challenges. And in the 23 years that Laura and I have been a part of this congregation, we've been met with challenges as a congregation. We've been rocked to our core as a congregation. And extreme pressure can crush, but it can also create diamonds. So my hope would be that when we are rocked to our foundation, whether as an individual family or as a church family, we remember to whom we can flee. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe.
Well, I am lucky enough to have had mine answered already. So Justin and Carrie are joining us, and that's my wish for this next year, is that we work with them to welcome them and help their transition to be very easy, because I know that can be difficult sometimes, transitioning into a new congregation, but to grow our youth group, our youth families together with them, and particularly to grow each of the young people's faith with God. And that's the goal for me and my family as well. Thank you.
Virginia and I drive about 11 miles to church every Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday night, and we see all kinds of disarray, religious disarray around us. And it not only affects them, but it affects us too, because we've lost a lot of people to them, especially young people. It was that way in the Bible times too. This is a reading in the 9th chapter of Matthew. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest, and that would be us.
Be like John, I'm gonna hope my phone don't go black on me. I'll just have to read what my thoughts was. When Bill approached me and wanted me to speak tonight, I knew within just a few minutes of what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about unity in the scriptures and unity in our congregation. As you and Kelly know, we have 11 grandkids. 7 of them attend here, and 4 more attend up at the South 5 congregation in Lebanon. Our hope and prayer is that they will continue to be members of the church their whole lives. We want them to have a good, strong, conservative congregations to attend. We feel in order to do that, we need good shepherds, and we feel as though we do have those here, and we want that to continue. In the past, we've not been real good about lending a helping hand to these men as we should have. We know there's several here in this congregation that do that. We urge everyone along with us to find something we can help them with so that they can concentrate their efforts on teaching and preaching and feeding the flock. In Acts, it talks about how they appointed 7 men to serve on tables so they would have time to do this. We strongly believe that that is an indication of what our elders need to be doing, is feeding the flock, preaching the word, and figuring how to make us stronger in Christ and not be concerned with the daily task of waiting on tables. We want for those 7 grandkids that attend here to have a strong congregation in the future. We also want the other 4 grandkids that attend in Lebanon to have the same opportunity. And when that 7 from here visit up there, we want those 4 from up there to visit here. We want them to all be able to see that there is unity, whether in this congregation or in their congregation that they attend. We want them to see that we are all still worshiping the one and only true God.
Mine kind of fits right in with Gene's. Our family would hope that God would give this congregation wisdom and strength and training up our young people, our children. When you look out on a Sunday morning, it's very evident we're blessed. We have a lot of young kids here. We have babies all the way up to teens, and we're plentiful in all those areas. And we would just ask that that the Lord help us do that, because they're our next generation of elders and deacons and elders' wives, deacons' wives, and faithful members of the church.
And with Bill this morning, his lesson, some of those statistics were pretty alarming that we heard. And when you think about it, the church is always one or two generations away from having a major shift because of the children that we're bringing up. And if we don't bring them up properly, then that's going to have a negative impact, but they can also have a very positive impact on the congregation here and the church as a whole. And I just want to leave you with the scripture. It's one we know very well, but it's Proverbs 22:6. Start children off on the way that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it.
When Bill stopped me when I was walking out the door today, much like Paul, I was kind of in shock that he decided to ask me to answer this, probably for the fact that I'm not the oldest Spartan in this church. I know that my dad usually speaks up here a lot more than me, so I'm also thankful to have this chance to talk. My family and I have been members here all the way back to 1997. And so it's kind of humbling to see all the new faces that we've gained since then, since we've moved here. But probably one of the greatest things that my family has given me, and since I mentioned him, I'm going to bring him up, but probably the greatest thing that my dad has ever given me is the courage to never be afraid to try something new. Anytime that I was worried about something, or I had some event coming up as a kid, the first person that I would go to is my dad and say, "Hey, I'm thinking about doing this." And you know what he would say every time? He would say, "Do it. You never know where it's going to take you." He did that with sports. He did that with LTC events. He did it with music. And I'll never be able to thank him for how much he's pushed me into doing what I love. So if our family could pray for a gift for Watermill for 2020, it would be to have the courage to seek new opportunities. I know in my life, every day when I go out, I see people that need Christ, and I see a way that I can approach them, and sometimes I don't. And when I walk, when I get home at night, I beat myself up about it. Sometimes Brooke has to say it'll be okay, like a good wife. But every day we have opportunity to be Christ-like. And my favorite book, and I'm so happy that Bill has been teaching in James, my favorite passage is James 2, verse 18, and it reads, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, but I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" So basically, what I pray for is that when an opportunity presents itself for us as a congregation to grow, to spread the good news amongst ourselves and in the community, I want us to take it, because you honestly never know what good it might lead to.
Well, like Jason, a lot of people have mentioned what I was going to talk about, and so I won't belabor the point. But it is neat to see that everyone here, a lot of people here, are all on the same page about stuff, and that there's that unity here in the church. So if our family could ask God to give our congregation one gift for the new year, it would be for the congregation to continue to grow in love, becoming a closer Christian family.
If our family could ask God to give our congregation one gift for the new year, I might change one word of that instead of it. Who? That would be Christ. From Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11, another request from Paul for his people. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So as we look forward to 2020, as we seek first the kingdom of God and look to each other, I encourage you to look over that passage again and think about these things. Christ is, of course, the one thing, but the things that come from Christ and what we share in Christ, encouragement, comfort, participation, affection and sympathy, the same mind, the one mind, same love, being in full accord, humility, looking to ourselves and others, and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Good evening. Good evening. Man, thank you. I've never been the answer to someone's prayer before, well, except Carrie's, of course. But thank you. Thank you for that. As I thought about and wrestled with this, I thought a lot about over the last 18 or so years, our family has been continuously praying for this congregation, praying for Bill and Kay and for the incredible service that they have provided over the past 100 years or so, and praying that God would continue to strengthen their hearts and their minds as they continue to serve. And it just so happened that as we continue to pray, it began to be laid on our hearts as well to want to be a part of something as special as what you have going on here. As we leave where we are and think about making the transition, and as we have talked and prayed continuously for this congregation, the one thing that sort of sticks in our minds the most that we hope that God would bring is a clear answer to the question, why does Watermill need to be here in Springfield? That the church would have a clear answer to the question, why does God need you to be here in this place at this time as this community of believers gathering here? What is it that God is calling us to do in terms of growth and service for the city of Springfield? And that in an answer to that question, that we be filled with a kind of enthusiasm and excitement that comes from feeling as though God has called us to a purpose. I love the way Paul puts it in his thesis statement to Romans. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of salvation of God to everyone who believes. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, because it's written, the righteous shall live by faith. We have something the world needs. We are a part of something that is inexpressibly exciting and joyous. And that is part of what God needs us to be here in Springfield. A light, a voice for those who have not heard his name. And our prayer is that we become more and more convinced of our purpose here.
What'd you think when you listened to those shared thoughts? I think we are in many ways on the same page, and a lot of you fellows have said it better than I could, and I'm very grateful for that. I want you to think about what Justin just said, especially at the beginning of that. A lot of you who are sitting here are answers to prayers. Not all of you came to us from circumstances that were real easy for you, but we've still been so grateful for everybody's presence here. And I have an idea that Justin has been an answer to prayers more than he realizes. But I think a lot of you who are sitting here are also. Which brings me to why I wrote this sentence here, or the part of the sentence to start with. I wanted to be able, after everybody's finished, to say, you do realize you can ask God for that gift for our congregation, and please do. That will mean we'll all be praying for what we know this congregation would be blessed by. And all of you fellas have said things for your families that we need and want to all be praying for. That's part of the point. The other part of the point is, it also may be that you'll turn out like Justin just said about him and Carrie. You may turn out to be part of the answer to your own prayer. There may be ways in which you turn out to be the answer to that. A lot of times, a person who can see the need or the opportunity is also the very person who's most cut out to help answer it, or help be the answer to it. So we think of next year in that way. It's also encouraging to know that in our thinking about this, the one who is the head of his church in heaven is also one who ever lives to make intercession for us. He asked for what's best for us also. And in that way, we join together with him in wanting fruit to the glory of the Father. So in that way, if our prayers are answered, our God will be praised, and that's what we long for most. Maybe you're here tonight and you know that there have been people praying for you who want what's best for you. Maybe you've been intending to not let another year pass without you actually becoming a Christian. And if that is the case, then we'd love to help you in that way tonight. Or if you're here and you need your brothers and sisters and the Lord to pray for you in some way, this would be a good opportunity, and we'd love to do it if you'll come while we stand and sing together.